Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Heavenly Father, may we learn from the Bible, and Lord, increase our wisdom. Use this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll study this probably eventually and break this down in more detail, but the book of Proverbs not only gives us much wisdom, but teaches us how to increase in wisdom. As a child, for instance, I didn't feel like maybe that was a byproduct at the time, but the Bible says that the rod and reproof giveth wisdom. And I'm sure there were some times that my wisdom increased greatly as my dad made sure that I had a point driven home in my life with either verbal reproof or corporal punishment. But that is one of the reasons that I think that we have so many foolish young people, is we've decided we can't correct them, and we're ignoring the principles of the Bible in this matter. We don't verbally reprove them. Too many parents are becoming like Eli, where he did not restrain his children. And I was telling our young people in the chapel today, there was a young couple that tried to come here for a while, tried to come to church here, and I think wanted to come, and we wanted them here. And finally, after three or four tries, just quit coming. I went and seen them, and the reason that they could not be in church was their children were so out of control, just absolutely out of control. Put them in a Sunday school classroom, they just tear the classroom up. They've tried bringing them into my young adult classroom. I couldn't teach. I mean, they didn't know what the word no meant, set down meant. And I thought to myself, you know what, folks, I'd like to say that that's an unusual case, but that is becoming more and more the norm, and just absolutely without restraint. And I thought, what are they going to be when they turn 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age? And just finally said, we can't come, and tried to give them instruction about how to take care of that problem. But let me say this, folks. A lot of these families are so tied into the system, okay, that they're scared to death to do anything. And, you know, the Bible still teaches us, you know, that a parent who loves their child will discipline their child. You don't love them, you're going to let them run. You're going to let them do. But the rod and reproof giveth wisdom. And so that's one of the ways. Of course, hearing instruction, our willingness to receive the instruction of the Word of God gives wisdom. But one of the ways, one of the many ways that we have in the Bible as far as a chance to increase wisdom is through receiving counsel and seeking out counsel. Well, what does that mean, to go to someone for counsel? Maybe you've heard that. They're getting some counseling. Well, I think maybe the simplest, best definition I've heard of counsel is borrowing wisdom from someone who's wiser than you. That's, to me, is what I think of when I am seeking counsel. If I need help in an area, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, in this specific area, who's been down this road before, who's accomplished this, who would know this, who has the answer to this, and I want to call that person because they can save me a lot of time if I can talk to somebody that's already accomplished or already become proficient or already is where I want to be in a certain area of my life. Now, folks, this takes humility. By the very definition, borrowing wisdom from someone who is wiser than you, then you need to be willing to admit there's people that are wiser than you in areas of your life. Some folks never get counsel because of pride. Honestly, they're so hung up on the idea of they already know everything, they don't get wisdom, or they don't get counsel, and that's a mistake. If counsel is borrowing wisdom from someone who is wiser than you, then counseling is the sharing of wisdom with someone who needs it. And wisdom, of course, is just learning to take Bible principles and apply them to everyday life. Instruction is the sharing of knowledge. Counseling is the sharing of wisdom. And not so much, you may do some instruction while you're counseling, but basically it's taking Bible instruction, Bible principles, and showing them how they fit into the particular area of life, the problems that they may be facing. And I'm not saying this because I need something else to do, but folks, listen to me. Don't just languish. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for counsel and wisdom in an area of your life. I think sometimes folks just are frustrated and they don't have the answer. But they don't have the answer because they're too proud to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I need some help." And we all ought to be doing that on a pretty regular basis. Now, let me give you several things when it comes to counsel and getting counsel and receiving counsel and giving counsel. Let me just break it down what the book of Proverbs teaches on this. Number one, why? Let's answer some questions about it. Number one, why should I get counsel? Why should I get counsel? Go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15, and we'll look at several verses in the book of Proverbs. Be prepared to move around your Bibles. Proverbs 12, 15. This verse says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Why should I get counsel? Because it's the wise thing to do. It's the wise thing to do. If you are determined to learn everything in life the hard way, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a hard life. And there's so much better to wiser just to seek out counsel and get some expertise in areas where you're lacking and listen and hear and receive it and be wiser for the fact. Proverbs chapter 19, let's move over there, verse number 20. Proverbs 19 and verse number 20. Hear counsel. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Why should I get counsel? It's the wise thing to do, and when you do the wise thing, you'll become wiser. Not only that, here's another reason. It's the safe thing to do. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. To me, this is one of the greatest reasons that I, on a regular basis, receive counsel, seek counsel. Proverbs 24:6. It's the safe thing to do. "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors." Notice that word safety. It's the safe thing to do. Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Safety. I always look at counsel as a safety net. You think about, you're walking a tightrope. I don't know about you. Well, number one, I don't really want to walk a tightrope, especially with my balance problems because of unfortunate incidents that happened earlier in my life. But if I had to walk a tightrope, and have you found out that sometimes life is a tightrope? You feel like that there's some things where you're just trying to keep the right balance and you're trying to go the right direction. I would rather walk that tightrope with a safety net than with no safety net. And counseling really is just a safety net. Many times, I'm pretty sure that I am making the right decision. But counseling just verifies that. It just helps me. Matter of fact, probably 9 times out of 10, I mean this, and that, you know, my age, and it ought to be that way, you know. But I'd say 8, 9 times out of 10, when I call and get counsel, the person verifies what I pretty much had decided anyway, but I still feel like, man, I feel safe in the decision now. Because there's always that 9th and 10th time where somebody will say, "Well, preacher, did you think about this?" And I hadn't, and they just provided a safety net that maybe caused me to not necessarily change the entire direction of my decision, but sometimes change the way I was going to go about the carrying out of that decision. That's what wisdom does for you. It's a safety net. Preacher, why do we need a safety net? Well, let me take you over to Proverbs 19 and verse number 20. I think we're close to there. And let me read this to you. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Very important that you learn this and understand yourself and understand how God created us. In Proverbs 19, verse 20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." Why? Now notice the next verse. "There are many devices in a man's heart." Isn't that the truth? Have you ever had one day where your heart pretty much could convince you this is the right decision, then you sleep on it, you wake up, your heart's decided it's this decision, and then you wake up the next day, and you know, there's many devices in our heart. Nevertheless, notice this, "The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." And so, folks, one of the reasons that we need to get counsel is because we've got to be careful about just trusting how we feel about something. I can feel about it pretty strongly one day and rest on it, sleep on it a couple days, and feel pretty different about it 2 days later. You know why? Because I'm a human being. I have emotions. And my heart, talking about the man's heart, there are devices in a man's heart. That's the seat of our emotions, how we feel about a situation. And we've got to be careful about making decisions on feelings. Proverbs chapter 28, I think one of the most important proverbs in this matter of the heart. One of the things that flies in the face of the philosophies of this world. But Proverbs 28, verse number 26, notice this: he that trusteth in his own heart, wow, this is pretty strong, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And that what that verse is warning you is, folks, we're emotional creatures. We can be too emotionally involved in a situation to make a clear-headed, unbiased decision. And so especially, it's a safe thing to do, getting counsel, when it's in what I call the matters of the heart. Wisdom, I think wisdom is knowing when you're too emotionally involved in a situation to trust yourself to make a clear-hearted decision. Wisdom is getting someone else who is wise, biblically wise, and maybe distanced or unattached to the situation to just get advice from before you make a final decision. Now, folks, listen, counsel is just counsel. Counsel doesn't mean you have to do anything, but it sure is helpful. It sure gives you something to think about. And nobody's trying to take over your life, make the decision for you. But at the same time, in matters of the heart especially, you ever maybe seen a judge, perhaps there's a judge in our area that sits on the bench and has to make judgment calls and has to try cases. Well, one of the first things that they'll do if they look at the defendant and what's the other person? The plaintiff. You've been watching Judge Judy, haven't you? Plaintiff and the defendant. And let's suppose he walks in and the guy that walked in is his nephew or his next door neighbor or some guy that crooked him out of money 2 years ago. Well, if he's a right kind of a judge, you know what he'll do? He'll disqualify himself. He'll go and say, I need to step down from this case and get somebody else in here. You know why? Because, listen, why does a judge do that? Because he has enough sense to realize that I'm a human being. And I could let some previous contact or some wrong that in my life that this person was involved in or my love and concern for this person cause me to make less than a fair decision on this. Boy, I hope you're listening to me. Are you getting this? Parents, don't be afraid to get counsel about your kids. I mean, is there anything closer to your heart than your children? And so, you know, sometimes we're making, I don't say you have to on every little thing, but sometimes if you're not sure, talk to somebody. And we'll talk about who to see on this and things in a minute. But it's not a sign of weakness. We got to get this cleared in our thinking. It's not a sign of weakness to get counsel. In fact, it's a mark of wisdom to get counsel. It's a sign of foolishness to never get counsel, is what the Bible says. But one of the reasons that we want to do this, that it is the safe thing to do. It's a safety net. It keeps us from making maybe an error in judgment because of how we feel about a situation and our emotional involvement in it. The third reason you ought to get counsel is because it increases your chances of success. In Proverbs chapter 20, if you'll go back there and look at verse number 18, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 18. I don't know about you, but I'd rather succeed than fail. I mean, this just is a no-brainer for me. If I'm going to put my time and effort into something and put my investment in something, I want it to succeed. And so I want to put myself in the best possible situation to succeed. Notice what it says in verse 18, chapter 20. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And so if I have purpose to do something, or I'm purposing to do something, the best way to have that purpose established and be successful is to get counsel. A couple chapters back, Proverbs chapter 15 And verse number 22, Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, watch this, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So the best chance to be successful before you get into any endeavor is to talk to as many people as possible who has been down the same road, accomplished the same thing, been successful at it. And they can say, hey, here's something I did wrong that I wish I'd have done different. Here's something I did right that I sure am glad I did right. Here's a different way to do it that I found out later on that would have saved me some time or saved me some money. And so, you know, it's always wise to take the time to get counsel before you just dive into a project or make a decision. It just increases your chances of success. So God says this, get counsel. Why? It's the wise thing to do. It's the safe thing to do. It increases your chances of success. Well, I hope you realize by now it's kind of a no-brainer. We ought to be getting more counsel probably than we're getting in life. Why should I get counsel? Number two, from whom should I get counsel? Go to Proverbs chapter number 16. We're right there. Look at verse number 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. One of the things you'll see oft repeated, we could go to actually probably 12, 15 verses that support this idea. But folks, listen to me. If you're going to get wisdom, go to someone who's wise. Go to somebody who's wise. Don't get instruction from fools. The instruction of fools is folly. You know, sometimes we won't get advice, and then we decide to get advice, and then we make a mistake in who we get advice from. You know, get advice from somebody who is wise, who has biblical, scriptural wisdom, who you have respect for, wise maybe in that particular area of life. They've shown wisdom. Get some advice from them. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's go back and look at Proverbs chapter 8 and just reestablish this. Like I said, we go to an awful lot of verses that establish this. But yeah, if you're going to get counsel, get wise counsel. Don't go to somebody who's foolish. You know, think about this. I watch Christians sometimes and I watch them, they won't go ask somebody, and then when they do go ask somebody, they ask somebody for advice in an area that if they'd step back and look at that person's life, has proved to be a failure in that area of their life. Again, this isn't rocket science to me. If I'm going to get advice, I'm going to get advice from somebody that succeeded in that area. Okay? Young couples, if you want to get some marriage advice, you might want to go talk to somebody who's got a successful, happy, biblical marriage. Okay, sitting around with a bunch of malcontents that have the same problems you do, exchanging your vast resources of wisdom, does nothing but makes the problem worse. Come on. Young people, listen to me. You're finally going to ask somebody for some advice. So who do you go to? The kid in the learning center that sits two seats down from you. And they're the same age, and they have about the same life experience, and yet it's crazy. We have gotten this weird, and I mean it's really unnatural. There's an unnatural loyalty in this culture of young people towards peers, and a disdain for people who have wisdom. I mean, they'll listen to a friend that's no smarter than them and do what they say, and won't sit down with mom and dad and ask them their opinion on something. That's insane. Well, yeah, I've gotten some advice. Who did you get advice from? Well, no. It's like when I used to drive the public school bus. There'd be two or three girls back there exchanging relationship wisdom. Oh, my boyfriend, he did this, this, and this today. What do you think? Oh, I think that you ought to... And I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness, dang. Really? Really? Why don't you ask Grandma? Why don't you go get Grandma on the phone? Don't be careful who you go to. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And be very careful, folks, who you get wisdom from. Be very careful. I would look for someone who lives a righteous life. Preacher, this person's got a lot of knowledge in this area. You might look at their life. Well, I know they're not saved, but, well, wait a minute. Maybe you ought to just take a look. Okay, because the counsels of the wicked are deceived. And so be very careful, even in arenas outside of spiritual matters, as much as possible. If you're going to get advice, I'd get advice from somebody that's a Christian that has expertise in that area. I wouldn't just go to somebody because from the outward appearances, they seem to be successful. You're not successful if you're not righteous. You're not successful if you're wicked. Not in God's eyes, you're not. Be careful, because what they're going to do is they're going to give you a worldly, unscriptural, and a lot of times a counsel that lacks integrity. And be careful about listening to folks that are not wise and do not show biblical wisdom. Now, we've already read all of these verses, but let me remind you in Proverbs 11, 14, 15, 22, and 24, 6, the Bible talks about a multitude of counselors. So from whom should I get counsel? Well, make sure whoever you go to is somebody who's wise, and also you ought to have what I call a cabinet of wise counselors. A cabinet, a multitude of counselors. Now, let me explain what that means, because I think I see folks do this sometimes, and they misinterpret this, this idea of a multitude of counselors. Too many times somebody's got a question, and they need wisdom. And so what they do is they say, well, there's safety in a multitude of counselors, so I'm going to call 10 people, and they end up just taking a poll is what they're taking, an opinion poll. And that's not what this is talking about. And when it's talking about a multitude of counselors, it's talking about you ought to put together in your life different people that have different expertise in a lot of different areas. Okay, so there's things you might come to me about and say, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm getting ready to buy a car, and it's got this kind of transmission, this kind of motor, and I will look at you and say, okay. Let me tell you who you need to go talk to, because I'm not a car guy. I'm not a mechanic. I mean it. I don't try to pretend I am. I can change my oil. I can, if it doesn't start, I can open it up and kind of stand there and go like this, you know. Then I'll stand on this side and do that, you know. And I'll stand over here, and then I'll call Brother Jack or Brother Tom. Same. What's going on here? Tell me what I need to do. And so what it's saying is, listen, I really mean this. I think it's dangerous to find, well, this is the one person in my life that I get counsel from. That's what the Bible's saying. Be careful of. What I want to do is I want to find people that are biblical and wise and have a proven track record in a lot of different areas, because I face a lot of different types of situations. Sometimes I'll come across, I'm trying not to use specifics here, but sometimes I'll come across a problem, and I really don't know the answer to that or how to get that thing answered. And so what I'll do is I'll stop and I'll think through the men that have proven themselves to give me really, really wise, good counsel. And I will go through that list of men and then locate the one who I feel like has the greatest expertise in the area that I need an answer in. And that's who I call. So I don't call the same person about anything, because, you know, this guy may be very wise and knowledgeable in this area, but honestly, in this area, he'll be honest with you and say, you know what, let me give you a couple names, but I'm really probably not the guy to ask. Well, you know, would to God all of us would be smart enough to pass people off if we don't really know. Okay, you'd be surprised the number of times people come to me about a situation, and my answer is, let me tell you who you need to call. Okay, nobody is the source of all wisdom except Almighty God. And so there's certain people that I'll call in this area of my life, and for this area of my life, and for this area of my life, and if I'm facing this thing, and if I'm facing this thing, and if I'm needing to make a decision about this, or I need expertise on this, and, well, you ought to just literally collect a cabinet of proven wise counselors that you can talk to about different things in different areas and get good advice from. And so that's what that's talking about, a multitude of counselors. See, this whole idea of, well, I think it means take a poll. Well, let me tell you what happens. People, our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, who shall know it? So what a lot of times that means, I've found out, is they called the person they really ought to have called, but he didn't tell them what they want to hear. Well, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so they'll call the next guy. And they'll call, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call till they find somebody that tells them what they want to hear. And then you know what they'll say? Well, I got counsel. No, you sought out somebody that would tell you what you already had decided. And so be careful about that. Be careful about conducting opinion polls. But at the same time, there is great safety in a multitude of counselors. From whom should I get counsel? I'm gonna give you the third one. Number one, from someone wise, from a cabinet of wise counselors. Number three, let me just give you this good advice, from someone who can keep their mouth shut. Anybody want to testify? I went one time and I went to this person and I went in confidence and I needed counsel, and next thing I knew, everything I told him was everywhere. There's a lot of Christians that keep themselves from being on my reference list of somebody that I could send somebody to. You know why? Because you can't keep your mouth shut. Okay. Well, let's just talk plain for a minute. If everybody that comes to you with everything, next thing you know, in 10 minutes they're out the door, off the phone, and you've got to, first of all, usually you're having to tell about it so you can brag about the fact that somebody came to you for advice. And then next thing you know, you're sharing information that you shouldn't share. And one of the hallmarks of a good counselor is this. They're trustworthy. And so I'm just telling you, if you haven't learned the hard way already, you will before life's over, that there's sometimes some people you should go to account. It's a shame. Sometimes those people have the knowledge, and they could be a help, but they're a blabbermouth. Amen. I'd be ashamed to have that said about me. I mean, I'd be ashamed of it, that I had such a small amount of discipline and character in my life that I could not be trusted with some personal private information, give some good sound counsel and help, and then take that before God in prayer and leave it there and move on with life and take whatever that was all the way to my grave and never have to share. If you can't do that, you have a character flaw that is going to hurt you in so many other areas of your life. Because people, it's a shame, because sometimes, like I said, it's people that really are knowledgeable and have wisdom in other areas, but they just can't be trusted. And what you'll find out is you get a reputation of that, people won't come to you. And you know what? They shouldn't come to you. They shouldn't come to you. All right? So that's a question. Why should I get counsel? From whom should I get counsel? Number three, what should I do with the counsel I receive? That's a great question. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. Proverbs 12, 15. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Hearken, what's it mean? It means listen to it. Listen to it. What should I do with the counsel I receive? Follow it. Listen to it. If it's wise counsel, then listen to it. Listen, somebody that has taken the time to share with you wisdom and given you good advice, follow it. You know, let me just give you a little thing that you'll figure out in life. There's people that want counsel, and there's people that want counseling. You say, explain the difference. There's some people that want counsel. They want wisdom, so they'll come, and you'll give them the wisdom, and they'll go home, and they'll hearken unto it, and they'll put it into practice, and you know what? That area of their life will start getting better. There's other people that just want counseling. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, they just want to take your time. They just want to come in and they want to tell you there's woes and they want to tell you all the reasons why and they want to tell you why, well, and everything you try to give them. Well, yeah, but you don't understand and that's not going to work in my situation. By the way, can we meet next week? And one of the things I've learned early in life is, and thank God for wise counsel from older preachers, say, you know what, you got to figure out who wants counseling and who wants counsel. Okay, I mean, it's crazy. The amount of time that some folks will take out of your life, and the honest truth is they don't take anything you say and ever put it into practice. You know, I don't mind. I will schedule as much time as we need to schedule if you'll follow the biblical advice. I decided a long time ago I'm done being a referee. I'm done being a referee. You know, my office isn't there, so you can come in once a week and I can referee the latest fight and declare the winner, and then you can go home and fight for another week so I can meet with you and declare the winner next week. If you want to be miserable, you're going to be miserable. If you want to fight and fuss, you're going to fight and fuss. If you want help, it's in the book. But you got to hearken unto it. Are you getting this? Young people, are you getting this? Sometimes young people receive wise counsel, but you know what? You don't listen to it. And if you don't listen to it, if you don't put it into practice, what good is it to you? So what should I do with counsel I receive? Follow it. If it's biblical, it's right. Even if it's not what you wanted to hear, follow it. And if you do, you begin to put into practice the principles of the Bible. Well, preacher, I tried it for a week and it didn't work. The principles of the Word of God, it's not some magic wand that fixes everything overnight. It's a life that is lived. It's truth that is lived. And you know what? You do it for the long haul. And in the long haul, things work out. Things get better. You got to stick with it. All right, now let me answer another question. Should I counsel others? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Should I counsel others? Well, go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 17. I'm just going to give you an observation. I'm being very transparent, and I hope it doesn't sound mean, but I'm just telling you what I've seen over a lot of years of working with people. Most of the people that want people to come to them for counsel are the most unqualified to be given counsel. Because it's not about, you know what it's about? It's about ego with them. I'm going to show you a verse here. We'll get down here in a second. But you know what? Person that has wisdom, they're never that personality type. It's always the person that doesn't really have any answers that wants everybody to come to them for the answers. Because it's more about what they get out of it than an opportunity to help somebody that has a need. Proverbs 22:17. Notice this. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have I not written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Notice this. The entire portion of Scripture is about this idea of pointing a person to wisdom, giving them the right answers, giving them excellent counsel, excellent knowledge, and so that their trust, notice verse 22, so that their trust may be in the Lord. Okay? I think everybody ought to get counsel occasionally, and I don't think anybody ought to be having to get counsel all the time. Because when you have to get counsel for every single thing, what you're showing is you're not growing in wisdom. Okay? And so I can tell you this. I'm just going to be, again, transparent. I know preachers, I can name them by name, that need people to need them. They need people to come for counsel more than the person needs counsel. I'm not that guy. Okay? I want your trust to be in the Lord. Now, I want to help you at times, and I think you ought to go to me or other people, a multitude of counselors from time, but you know what? Your dependency ought not to ever be on another individual. A good counselor takes you and points you to the wisdom of God and to a relationship with God, and you know what? Through that, you're going to get more answers than anything I'm going to come up with anyway. And so, make sure that if you are going to receive people and people are coming to you with counsel, that you're pointing them to the Lord and pointing them to the truth and the wisdom of the Bible. And you know what? You ought to look at yourself as a short-term, this is a short-term situation, short-term transition. I'm going to help this person through this and then get there. They need some help, and we all do. We need sometimes just sit down and talk to flesh and blood, a human being, about something. But don't put your faith and trust in that human being. That person, if they're a wise counselor, will tell you, I'm going to share with you the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God's word. I want to build your dependency to God. And so let me show you how to strengthen your relationship in that area to the Lord. Make sure you're qualified to counsel others. If somebody asks you for advice, don't make up an answer if you don't know. Okay? Don't be quick to answer. If you don't know, you know what you ought to say? I don't know. That's a good answer. Well, preacher, they may not think that I know everything. It's because you don't. Neither do I. A lot of times people come and I'll say, you know what? That's a great question. I haven't the faintest idea. Now, I'm not going to just leave them. I want to help them. I'll say, can you give me a few days? And can you let me spend some time studying that out? And maybe I can come and get you some. Or I may say, hey, you know what? You know what? That's not my real area of expertise. I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you a number and call this guy. It's okay. You know, don't make up something just because you're scared to death. They may not come back to you ever again. No, the again, what you're showing is that you need the counselor more than they need the counsel. Okay, so do not make up an answer if you do not know. And I know I'm hitting on this, but parents, can I tell you something? We're all supposed to just kind of pretty much work ourselves out of a job at some point. I don't mean totally. I mean good. Up to the day my dad passed away, I went and saw him on a regular basis. Or, you know, often. Or call him on the phone. And Mom, Dad, listen, trust me, in every new area of stage of life, there's new questions. They're always going to be needing some help. But I worry about the parent that keeps the kid dependent. It's not about them after a while. It's about you need what you need, not what they need to be. Okay? We've just gotten into some crazy situations. Me and my wife, we were counseling somebody in Rhode Island. Brother Chapman asked us to counsel. I'm going to tell you, some parents need a wake-up call. You know, if a dad says this, well, I'm God in my home. Can I just tell you what that means? Or what you just said is blasphemy? What do you mean you're God in your home? Come on now. Why shouldn't God be God in your home? But I'm telling you, I've watched preachers do it. I've watched parents do it. They get this God complex. And that kid can't make a decision in their life without God telling them what to do. Now, kids, I'm gonna help you here in a minute. I'm not giving you a permission slip to be rebellious. I'm just saying, parents, let's use some sense. You know, there were some decisions. I'll just give you one for example. You don't have to do everything the way we did it. But you know, our job is to transition our children into being adults that are dependent upon the Lord. Okay, that's healthy. That's good. Okay? I think Cheryl, last night, drove Tabitha up to the airport, put her on a plane, and she's going out to visit that guy, California. You know what? When we brought that little baby girl from the hospital, we understood something. We weren't raising her for us. We were raising her for a young man that she would be a helpmeet for the rest of her life to. When it came down for time for our girls to decide on which Bible college to go to, I wouldn't make the decision for them. Hannah wanted me to. Hannah said, Dad, just decide. Just tell me where I need to go. And that's just Hannah, you know. And I said, you know what, hon, listen to me. At some point in your life, you're going to have to get on your knees and get a hold of God, and you're going to have God tell you some things. Now, let me tell you what the wise way to do this. What we did was we controlled the choices, but we didn't make the choice. You know why? Because at some point, they need to make choices. And I'm going to shock you. Even if you control the choices and have them make the choice, there's going to be sometimes something inside of you went, oh, I wouldn't have done that. I would have got to the other one. And then you're going to want to jump back in because you can't stop. But mommy, daddy, you're not going to be there the rest of their life. God will be. God will be. God's going to be there. Guess what? We're not moving to California with her in August. Although that sounds real enticing. No, not in August. Maybe in January we'll want to go out there. But, you know, raise your kids. Listen, that's what counseling is. Counseling, it's just an unhealthy situation. You know, when you bring the baby home, they're 100%, 110% totally dependent on you. By the time they leave your house, not so. And we've got dysfunctional children in this culture that are sitting at home at 25 and 30 years of age and couldn't walk out and do anything without mommy and daddy taking them by the hand and showing them how to do it. And it's not just worldly people that are doing that. There's Christian people that are going to keep those kids 100% dependent on them. And it's not about that kid and their what's best for them. It's about what you need. Now, if a preacher did that, you'd say, there's something wrong with him. That he just needs people in his office all the time. Well, there's something wrong with you, daddy, mommy. Amen. I like it when it gets quiet like that. We need to go home and do some thinking about some things. Are you raising them for you? You raising them for the Lord. And I hear people say, well, I just can't believe you let her go to California. I just think to myself, I can't believe that you can't trust God enough to let them make some choices. Come on now. Yeah, I like this. Amen. Oh, we're not raising our kids to live on this side and this side and the grand. Yeah, you are. Yeah, no matter how many times you say you're not. Yeah, you are. Are you raising them for the Lord? Are you equipping them so that they can leave your home and be functional in this world, in society, in service to God? Amen. I want them to leave at some point. Back the way it was when it was just me and the bride, before everybody tricked us into thinking having kids was a good idea. Those were the days, my friend. Just about there again. Someone said, how are you going to handle this empty nest thing? I said, man, I'll tell you what, the first 20 minutes is going to be horrible. It's just, for about 20 minutes, I'm just going to, nah, we'll miss them. And you know what? If you do that, you still get the phone calls. Matter of fact, you'll get more of them that way than you will if you know, when they finally break and run. And they don't want to be around you for any reason because they can't ask you anything without you wanting to not only answer that question but tell you everything that's wrong in every other decision you've made in your entire life. Oh, this is good. The teens are actually enjoying a message for once. Again, young people, don't you take what the preacher said and go home and use it in the wrong way. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying we're growing them up. And we're growing them out. You know, my daughter starting August 4th, not only going to be a wife, but she's going to be a youth pastor's wife. She needs to be equipped and ready to step into that situation with some confidence and some God confidence and a set of skills and people skills and be able to step forward and make an impact on people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? She couldn't have done that if we'd micromanaged and made it every decision of her life. She can't function without daddy or mommy saying, come here, let me show you how to do that. She's got to start cooking. Pray for AJ. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, girls, you don't get to take mom with you. You know, I don't want her with me on my honeymoon. Yeah, but when you get back from the honeymoon, the first time you're making a meal, you want her. Mom. I love it when Cheryl, she still gets those phone calls. What was that? Hannah's wanting to know how to mix such and such to make so and so. I thought, wasn't she here for 18 years? What's the deal? Let me give you one more piece of advice here. Do not offer up counsel. And boy, this is a mistake we make a lot of times. Do not offer up counsel unless you're asked. Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Boy, I bite my tongue a lot. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. If someone's always trying to give you free advice, let me tell you, they're charging you probably about what it's worth. You know, a wise man will stand there with the wisdom you need to help in the situation he's watching, and he'll never say a word if you don't ask. Let me say that again. A wise man will sometimes stand there watching you and having the wisdom that you need and won't offer it unless you ask. You know why? Because he's learned something in life. Unsought for advice is seldom heeded and usually resented. Unsought for advice is seldom heeded and usually resented. So you know what? If you don't want to ask, I'm not going to tell. Proverbs 23:9 goes a step farther. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. It says, don't do it. Well, how do you know they're a fool? Well, if you're standing there and you got the answers, and they're standing there and they don't, and they won't ask you answer, or ask counsel, that's one of the attributes of a foolish person. So I'm not offering. If you want to know something, come ask me. Now, when I stand up and preach, I'm going to preach the Bible. But when it comes to individual people, I don't run around this church chasing people down the parking lot and say, I need to tell you something that you're doing wrong. You need to do this. I'm not. If you want wisdom, come get it. Come ask for it. If you don't want it, you don't need it, that's fine. And save me this. Well, I'm just helping myself and other people tonight. Amen. Folks, don't leave my office and tell people you sought counsel. If you walked in my office, sat down, and said, I think I just wanted to tell you what I've decided to do. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. People come in to see me. They sit down. What's going on in your life? What do you need? Well, I thought I'd let you know what I'm doing. Okay, what are you doing? So they tell me what they're doing. And they tell me the reasons they're doing it. I said, okay, is that all you needed? That's what I say. Is that all you needed? Well, yeah, I guess. Okay, I stand up, shake hands with them, walk them to the door and open it. And then they go out and say, well, I went and sought counsel. No, you didn't. You didn't ask me anything. You didn't ask me one question. You just came in and announced what you'd already decided to get your parents off your back so that you could say you went in and talked to the preacher about it. But if you don't ask me anything, I assume you don't want to know anything. You just want to tell me what you're going to do. Now, if you tell me what you're going to do and then say, do you think that's a good idea? Then I'll answer your question. But if you come in there and just to tell me what you're going to do at the end of that discussion, I'm going to say, okay, is that what you needed? Is that all you needed? Okay, good. Well, God bless you. Open the door. Shut the door. Dummy. Yeah, right after the door shuts, dummy. Yeah, out loud, dummy. You know why? Because that's a dummy. And then they'll come home going, well, no, I talked to the pastor about it. He seemed fine with it. I was fine with it. I was fine without it. Fine with it, without it. If you want counsel from the heart of a wise man, it's like deep water. Draw it out. Well, preacher, you're just so busy. Yeah, that's right. That means you're going to have to put a little effort in. You might actually have to wait. You might have to leave a message. You might have to make an appointment. You know, well, I'm enjoying this. This is good. If you got a bad tooth, you call the dentist and say, listen, I'm working today. Can I meet you at 7:30 tonight? Turkey Joe. Well, I'm asking you. mean, there's been a few months my wife said, we're going to need marriage counseling if you don't get home some evening from marriage counseling. No, this is good. Come on now. By the way, you want me to meet you in the evening? I'll meet you in the evening. I'm just saying. How important is it to you? If you had a medical problem, would you call the doctor and say, listen, I'm working. I don't get off till 8. Could you meet me at 8:30? You know what he'd say? No. Here's my office hours. Make an appointment. Now, I'm not trying to be a dentist. I'm not trying to be a doctor. It's just amazing when we start thinking about things and the importance of things. You know what? Wisdom and counsel is like deep water. The heart of a man. Draw it out. You know what? The person who needs the wisdom ought to be the one that's inconvenienced, not the one who has it. Amen. Amen. When I call for counsel, you know what I do? I leave messages. I don't get mad if the guy doesn't answer the phone. He's doing me a favor. If he answers, I'll say immediately, is this a good time to talk? If it's not, I need a probably, and I'll tell him exactly what I think I need. I'll need probably 10 minutes. Is there a better time? You know why? Because he's got the goods. He's doing me a favor. Yeah, Brother Ross, right now is not, what you can you give me a time? I'll call you any time would be convenient for you. You know what? He's got the goods. He's doing me a favor. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, seek out counsel. See, well, I tried to talk to Mom. She was busy. Well, then stand there and wait until she's not busy. Well, I need to talk to Dad, but, well, then you just wait and then you do it when it's convenient for him. He's helping you. Well, I tried to talk to Brother Reiser, but, well, then you just try again tomorrow. You know, it just becomes an excuse after a while. Okay? And so, should I counsel others? Well, make sure that you're qualified. Make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Don't make up answers. Don't offer up counsel unless you're asked. Don't give somebody unbiblical counsel. Whatever you do, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against God. Proverbs 31 or 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against God. Cease, my son, Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So many times, people go to folks for counsel and advice, and they give them an unbiblical answer. And that person is worse off than if they had got no counsel at all. So these are the Bible principles taught to us in the book of Proverbs concerning this subject of counseling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask, Lord, your blessing, your help, and Lord, that you would please help us to take advantage of this great avenue of wisdom in our lives. What a wonderful thing to be able to increase wisdom, and thank God for people that are wise people and people with experience and people with knowledge and discretion. Thank you for the many, many counselors, Lord, in my life that I use, Lord, on a regular basis. Thank you, dear God, for their wisdom. How many times they've helped me. They've been that safety net. They've been that affirmation concerning the proper direction. Sometimes they've been that reprover. Sometimes they've been that rebuker. Sometimes they've admonished. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep our hearts wise enough to seek wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name.